Today on Real Life Radio.
Legalism. He says, I never, you didn't, I can't believe, how come? Listen, legalism is a dangerous hypocrisy, my friend, because it points and condemns and judges everybody, but most often, the very things that legalism condemns, it's doing it privately in secret.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. Now, before we get into today's message, I want to ask you what you think of when you hear the word miracle. It might seem unbelievable, but America's history is full of God-given miracles, and our current featured resource will tell you all about them. It's a great book. It's called Miracles in American History, 32 Amazing Stories of Answered Prayer, and it's by Susie Federer. Get your copy right now for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And now, let's get into the message. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series on the Gospel of Luke with a message titled, Christian, Come Home, Part 4. You know, this series on the Gospel of Luke is a series that gives us both the humanity and the divinity of Jesus, as only Luke, the physician, could really do. Here now we continue in these final verses of chapter 15, and we'll consider what makes God's grace so real. You see, the meaning of the word grace is a gift that's already been bought, so it can't be earned. It's God's riches at the expense of Christ. Why is grace necessary? Well, the book of Romans tells us that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And you know, where sin is great, grace is even greater. So today, on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that legalism is a dangerous hypocrisy. It has no power to fight off sin, but the effect of grace lies within the blood of Jesus that He's already shed on the cross for our sins. It's not at all because of our own performance, even as a believer. Now, with his message called Christian Come Home, Part 4, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
In the summer when it's hot, did you know that your tree brings up nutrients from the ground and in the conversion of those nutrients produces sap? Have you ever seen a tree sweat? Especially in the mountains here. When you'll see sap coming out of a tree when it's really hot. You want to know why? That sap brings up nutrients and it is a response to the heat that the tree is going through. It, in a sense, boils or is drafted or migrates upward. Are you with me now? Check it out. That's the word that Luke used in putting that verse down there. The sun, the anger began to start in his feet. And it began to go up and up and up. You guys know what I'm talking about? It's called rage. It begins to percolate, come up, come up, come up, come up. And we use the saying, you see red. He's boiling. Who is? The older son. He would not go in. The word in the Greek means he's dug his heels into the ground. He took a stance. I am not moving. He's in absolute disagreement with what's going on. He's furious. The father is exercising a prerogative, and the legalistic son's not in agreement with it. He doesn't approve. No one asked me about this. Let the ridiculous embarrassment brother of mine rot. You know, Stephen preached. It was a great message, but it cost him his life. But at least he went down preaching. In Acts chapter 7, verse 51, Stephen said to the Jewish people who were refusing the gospel, he said, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised and hardened ears. Very subtle preacher, you could tell there. You always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did, so do you. Is that not powerful? He said, well, Pastor, that doesn't apply to me. I go to church. What does that have to do with anything? Going to church doesn't save you, my friend. You can be in church and miss the grace of God completely. Can you imagine? This may sound harsh, but I think it's theologically accurate. There's going to be a lot of people that wake up one day and they're in hell and they've attended church all their life because they were religious, but they never knew him. Didn't Jesus say in Matthew chapter 7, you did miracles in my name, you cast out demons in my name, you preached in my name, but he said, I never knew you. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. Why? Because their heart had missed him. You were theologically correct in your head, but 18 inches down, you missed a personal relationship with Christ. And I don't want that to happen to anybody in the hearing of this. Know yourself, man. Do you know Christ? Yeah, I go to church. Well, Pastor, you preach it, Pastor. I'm a Lutheran. What does that have to do with anything? You think, hey, God, let me in. I'm a Lutheran. Or maybe you're going to say, God, I know you, all that stuff, but I'm a Baptist. Here, I'm coming in. You're not going in because you're a Baptist. You're not going in because you're a Catholic. I'm a Catholic. Someone has said, well, you are what you eat. Oh, that's not exactly true. You can go to church, doesn't make you a Christian. You can go to Krispy Kreme, doesn't make you a donut. Right? LA Fair's on. You can go to the fair, doesn't make you a fairy. Hey, I grew up, I remember in San Diego, first time, freaked out. I saw the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile. You ever seen that thing? They were handing out whistles. Beep! Recently saw it heading to Anaheim Stadium. Angels were playing, the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile went down the freeway. I had a major flashback. Do you remember that song? I wish I were an Oscar Mayer wiener. That is what I truly want to, because if I were an Oscar Mayer wiener, everyone would be in love with me. Now listen, you can eat wieners all you want. You're not an Oscar Mayer wiener. And no one's gonna love you because you eat Oscar Mayer wieners. Well, I go to church, I'm gonna go to heaven, right? No. It's not how you get there. You can't get there from here. You go to church because it gives us opportunity to love one another. Amen. Gives us opportunity to spread the gospel. Amen. Gives us opportunity to be taught, strengthened, encouraged, and equipped for the life that we're going to live the moment we walk out of these doors, week after week after week, until he comes back for us. But legalism says no to that. In John 10:27, Jesus said, and here it is, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, they follow me. That's the criteria. Who's going to get there? The sheep who know his voice. Do you know his voice? He said, they'll follow me. Also this, grace is powered by his blood. It's not only his prerogative, but grace is powered by the blood of Christ. The Bible tells us here in verse 29, so he answered and said to his father, here it goes, behold, these many years I have been serving you. That's true in action, but was his heart there? I never transgressed a commandment at any time. Is that really true? Maybe in action, but where was his heart? And you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. Notice the parable. The older legalistic son never really accuses or attacks the brother. He's attacking the father. Father, you're unjust in this area. I don't approve of that. I don't think that's right. I disagree with you on that. Someone told me the other day, I don't agree with all the things that you decide on as a pastor. And I laughed and I said, listen, I said, I don't agree with all the things I decide on either. And I explained this. I said, I will pray, I will fast, I will seek God's heart, I'll get the answer, and then I have to execute the answer, and I don't even agree with the answer. I would have done it a different way. Oh, clearly that's the wrong way that I would have done it. Listen, we're to follow him. We're not to follow our opinions or what we make up. Why? Because Jesus Christ gave his blood to power grace in our lives. Legalism. He says, I never, you didn't, I can't believe, how come? Listen, legalism is a dangerous hypocrisy, my friend, because it points and condemns and judges everybody, but most often, the very things that legalism condemns, it's doing it privately in secret. The paper is filled always, it seems, with pastors and preachers and religious people who condemn this and condemn that. And then they're caught on tape and caught on film. And that one lunatic, Rajneesh, remember him? Those of you who remember, he had this big cult in Oregon and he was denouncing materialism. And he was literally, I'm telling you the truth, he was denouncing materialism that it's Satan's realm. And he had all these people give him their Rolls Royces, Mercedes, bank accounts, and houses. He was their savior, delivering them from all that evil material stuff. What did he do? He took it all and went back to India with it. I laughed so hard when I heard that. Legalism does that. Legalism can never look at itself and see that it's in need of Christ. The Bible says in Galatians 2:20 to 3:3, Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. Christian, keep that in mind. Memorize that verse, Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. You ever have an old temptation pop up or an old action from your past? Want to take over your life? Remind yourself, hey, wait a minute. I don't know Jack. I hear that a lot. I take that really personal, by the way. He doesn't know Jack. Hey, I know Jack. I am Jack. And when the old Jack pops up, I've got to remember I've been crucified with Christ. Amen. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside, or we get the English word frustrate, the grace of God. For if righteousness comes by keeping the law, then Christ died in vain. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? This only I want to learn from you, Paul said. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, you'll now perfect yourself in the flesh? Oh, don't despise the grace of God, my friend, ever. The danger with religion without Christ is that it masks the reality. It creates a psychological or emotional band-aid that covers up one's true condition. We need Jesus. Also this, what makes grace so powerful is that grace is a result of the cross. Now, I need you to hang on to your seats. I'm both going to go fast. And clearly from a couple of weeks ago, it's going to go offensive here in a second. But the preaching of the cross, the Bible says, is offensive. Look at verse 30. It's the Son speaking. But as soon as this, what does it say? Son of yours, notice, not his brother. As soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf. It's your fault. They told Jesus, if you're the Christ, come down from the cross, rescue yourself. Interesting. Grace is a result of the cross. You cannot have the grace of God without Jesus Christ going to the cross. Without the cross, there's no heaven. Without the cross, there's no salvation. Without Jesus Christ on the cross, you and I are lost forever.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
Now, here's the part that flipped people out a couple weeks ago, so I'm going to repeat it. You need to hear it because some found fault with this. And I want you to know it's theologically accurate, but it's politically incorrect. Are you with me? Do I have your attention now? Yes. Listen, Paul the Apostle said, I'm not ashamed in Romans 1 of the gospel of Christ. What is the gospel of Christ? That he came and died on a cross, 1 Corinthians 15, that Jesus Christ came, died on the cross for our sins and rose again from the dead on the third day according to the scriptures. That's the gospel. That's the grace of God. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of it, but how do you apply it? Where do you get it? It's the cross. Are you with me? Okay, watch this. I said this a couple weeks ago, and I'm challenging anyone to find fault. Here it is. Mormons do not have a cross. Mormonism teaches that Jesus died, but you can be really good and add to. They don't have a cross. Look at their buildings. No cross. You'll never find any cross. Secondly, I mentioned Jehovah's Witnesses don't have a cross. They gotta work, door to door, all their good deeds to maybe, hopefully, maybe go to some sort of a heaven that maybe exists according to the Watchtower Society. They're not sure. They don't know. There's no cross. They've got no cross. Muslims, did you know that Muslims teach there was no cross? Did you know that? People will say, well, we all worship the same God. Don't ever say that to a Muslim. You'll insult them. Because my friend, if you're a Christian, your Bible tells you that your God died on a cross and rose again on the third day. Islam teaches Judas died on the cross and Jesus escaped. There is no cross in Islam. Why do you think they're so upset? They have no cross. They have no forgiveness. They have no grace. They have no mercy. Think about it. No cross. They'll fight against the cross, but it's the cross they need. And even right now, the Jews, both in Jesus' day and today, the Jews refuse to accept the cross of Christ. Do you understand this? This is exactly the teaching of these groups. They have no cross. And without a cross, there's no salvation. Jesus went to the cross. Colossians 1:20 says, for by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Third and final point. What makes grace so valuable? Christian, come home. Grace awaits you. Well, what makes it so valuable? And here's the driving point. Jesus concludes this series of parables in his incredible way to articulate, to teach. Only he can do this. He takes a scalpel and he plunges it perfectly into the hearts of the legalist. Not to kill them, but to get them to see. Look at verse 31. It's what costs God to provide it. Why is it so valuable? It's what it costs God. And he, the Father, said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. Jesus is standing in front of those Pharisees and he's saying, everything's been done for you. You guys have been given the law. You guys have been given the Holy Spirit. You guys have been given the witness. Everything's been done for you, but you're not accepting. You're not opening. You're not receiving. Listen to this. What makes grace so valuable? Jot it down. Ephesians 2, 5 through 9. We're almost done. Even when we were dead in our trespasses, God made us alive together with Christ, for by grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. Verse 8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift, not by works, lest any man should boast. God's grace invites you to come. You can't be a big enough sinner to be kicked out or unable to receive his grace. He's paid for it all. You can write the reference down. It's for time's sake, I won't quote it all. It's Luke chapter 7, verses 36 to 49. You remember the story. Simon invites Jesus over, and there's an entourage there for dinner, and a woman comes busting into the room. Remember? She comes in. She's got an alabaster flask. This is her dowry for her future wedding someday. She can't get married without it. It's very expensive. She's crying. She falls at Jesus' feet. She's weeping. She begins to pour the oil all over him, and she's drying his feet with the hair of her head. And Simon says, if this man was of God, he would know what kind of woman's touching him. And Jesus said, I heard that. I just heard that thought. And he said this to her. I mean, to them all. He says, therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many. You can hear Jesus agree with them. Yep, pretty big sinner here. They are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. God wants to forgive. Quickly, what makes grace so valuable? It's what it does in my life. It's what it does in your life. The old man says it was right that we do these things. The word's amazing, church. It may look like no big deal on the surface, but in the Greek, it's the third person. The father goes to grab this older son, and he goes like this, hey, listen, what I did was right for him. It's right for him. The father's saying, son, it's good for your brother. This is great. You need to see this in the third person, my son. We're not talking about me right now, son, and we're not talking about you right now, son. We're talking about your brother. Christian, you and I should be out searching for our lost brethren and hunting them down. Just when they think they're going to get the Ten Commandments whacked on their head, you say, listen, I want you to hear this message and I want you to come on back. Isn't God's timing awesome, you guys? Church, listen. Isn't it great that when the son was coming home, the younger boy, in the heart of repentance, isn't it great, God's timing? Isn't it great that he didn't bump into the older son in the field? Can you imagine? What are you doing? I'm coming home. I'm sick of living with pigs. And maybe dad will hire me just as a servant or something. I don't know, I'll do anything. Oh, really? Look, bonehead, you drug this family's name through the whole community. You just better pack it up and take out of here. It was really good not having you around. You're a scumball. Get out of here. That didn't happen. The father met the boy. My friend, listen, forget about what people are saying. The father wants to meet you again. And verse 32 ends when he says that the son, your brother, was lost and now he's found. I love this. Because the Bible tells us, now hear this out and I'm done. Truly, this is the last verse. How does this sit with you? How do you handle this? Romans 4, 3 through 5 says, for what does the scripture say? That's Paul's way of saying, look at the Bible. Abraham believed God. Hey, Abraham believed God. This was before he was circumcised and before the law was given. Think of that. And it was accounted to him for righteousness. God declared him righteous without the law and without being circumcised. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as a debt. But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted to him for righteousness. End of story. End of parable. This is it. You can close your Bible. Jesus is saying, you can't get to heaven from here by being good enough. You can try all you want. You must come to Christ believing he died on the cross for your sins and saved you because you can't save you. I can't save you. No one can save you. And saying, Lord, I'm asking you to forgive me. And he's faithful. So this morning, you are either a sinner saved by the grace of God and enjoying the love of God, or you're a Christian and you've wandered far from God and you want to come back, well, hurry up. Grace awaits. Or you have thought you were a Christian all these years because, frankly, you're just so doggone good. How could God not have you into heaven? After all, you're not like your neighbor. You're a Pharisee, and you need him personally. These are heart-searching things, which is exactly what a parable is all about. Father, we ask you now in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, risen Savior of the world, that all of these things that are out there, the messages that have come since the giving of your gospel, all these variants and these cult messages, and you got to get to heaven by bleeding yourself or by spending this or by going door to door or by certain attributes, rules, or certain performances, all of these things, religious acts to mask the reality that when and while we were lost, Jesus died for us. And we thank you, Father. My friend, right where you're at right now, wherever you're at, you can say, Lord, forgive me of my sins. If you're coming back, tell him you're coming back. If you're saying, Lord, I want to renew this relationship with you, I want to walk with you now, receive me, then you do that. If you've never believed in God before and you've heard that this is what it is, and you're saying, man, I want Jesus. If this is it, I want him. Then you tell him right now, Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for my sins, and I want to be yours forever. You do that.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, with his message called Christian Come Home, Part 4. We're so glad you joined us today. Christian Come Home, Part 4 is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Gospel of Luke, a series on the book of Luke and the unveiling of Jesus Christ to this world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Have you heard about Just Church? Just Church is hosted by Pastor Jack Hibbs, and it's totally free. It's going to happen one night only. That's Friday, September 8th, and that's at the Honda Center in Anaheim. You are invited to this special night where we come together to seek a closer walk with Jesus Christ. At Just Church, we'll gather to worship and study God's Word together. Wherever you are in your relation to Jesus Christ, you will be welcomed and you'll feel comfortable at Just Church. This is a bold call to encourage you to decide now that it's time for you to commit your life to Jesus Christ or to come back home to the family of God. Let us know you're coming and keep updated by registering at JustChurchSoCal.com. That's JustChurchSoCal.com. Let me give you that date one more time. It's Friday, September 8th at the Honda Center in Anaheim. Register now at JustChurchSoCal.com. That's JustChurchSoCal.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.